What's going on, everybody? It's Junior, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Connection Room.
Hey, welcome back to The Connection Room. I'm your host, John Bracero, and as always, I got my co-host, AJ, with me.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, man, and today we got a special surprise for you guys. Today we have our women's in today to talk about what it is to be a woman. So, ladies, let's say hi. Christina, say hi to the people.
Hello, everyone.
Catherine, say hi to everyone.
Hey, everybody. This is Catherine Bracero, co-host AJ's wife.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. This is Candace.
So, today's episode, we're just going to talk about what it is to be a woman and some of the things you guys go through and things like that. So, with our first question, we're going to start off with, at what point in your life did you feel like you was becoming a woman or became a woman? We're going to start with Catherine.
The time that I felt that as if I became a woman was when I was pregnant with my son, Junior. I would have to say, I don't know if it's because of the actual birth itself. And once I delivered him, yo, having a child is no joke. So if that doesn't make you ready, I don't know what else would.
Over to Christina.
So for me, I would have to say that I felt like I was becoming a woman when I started living on my own. Because I really felt like I was a big girl, like I was an adult. Later to find out that I wasn't really an adult until later on. I was 23, I would say, I think. 22, 23, maybe 24. I think I was 20. I would honestly have to say, like, over the past, like, year or two, I feel like I've had to really, really, really be, I would have to agree with Catherine. I didn't give birth to my son. But it was like when I became a mom, that was when it was like, wow, like I'm a grown woman, like for real. Despite that I was already paying bills and I was on my own and everything, it changes your perspective when you become a mom.
Okay, babe?
When I was young, it was two different occasions when I felt like I was, you know, I became a woman. One, it was when I was about 11 and a half years old. I know that's young. But I had to make a very tough decision when I was young. I had to either sacrifice my sister or myself to go into foster care. And I sacrificed myself for her. And I was just 11 years old. And I had to make a real tough decision on that because if not, they would have taken her away. And like Catherine and Christina said, also, when I gave birth to John Jr., it changed everything because being a mom is a very, very difficult and beautiful and amazing experience. But you have to put that other person, that little person's life before your own. So I had to.
Okay. So since all three of you said the same thing in a sense of being a mother, can you guys just elaborate on what it is to be a mother? You know, just like your everyday struggles, your everyday walk of just being a mother and what that is and what that means to you. We're actually, we'll start with Christina.
All right, I might take a second answering this because it is an important question to me personally. And I'm sure it is to Catherine and Candace as well. I love being a mother. I am blessed with having a stepdaughter who is 10 years old and having a son that is 2 years old that Eric and I are in the process currently of adopting, thank God. We have had Julian since he was 5 days old. For me, I always wanted to be a mom. Not because I wanted to, it was never something where like, oh, everyone else is having kids and blah, blah, blah. I always wanted to be a mom. And, I know that God can still bless my husband and I with our own biological child, I do struggle with infertility issues, but again, like I said, God can do absolutely anything, and he has blessed me with still being able to be a mom to both of these kids, or a stepmom to Nevaeh and a mom to Julian. So I'm thankful for that. Being a mom, though, it's like you are the most, you don't realize how much you can multitask. Like, as a mom, you have to, as a mom and as a wife, you have to do like 1,000 things at the same time. I wouldn't ever trade it for the world. Like, this is my world. So being a mom to Julian has been like my biggest blessing. Being a stepmom to Nevaeh has been my biggest blessing. He's 2 years old now. He's a toddler, so he's absolutely everywhere. Plus, the, you know, working full time and then coming home and still having to be a wife and attend to him. He doesn't understand mommy's tired. She just had a long day at work. He sees mommy's home. It's time to play. So as a mom and as a woman, you have to still find time and find room to give them the attention that they need while still attending to your husband, while still attending, for me, to the things of church, while still attending to just household chores. As a woman, I think that we're amazing. I think that we're so powerful, we're so strong, and we definitely juggle a whole lot.
Hey, no doubt. Definitely, mad respect to you guys.
As a mother, we have to, I'm a mother of 4, 2 boys and 2 girls. And they're little, they're 9, 8, 6, and 1. And it's very, very difficult. When I go out and people see me with the kids, they be like, oh, God bless you. We're going to be praying for you because they're so little. And and like, they, like, you know, I still have to fence for them because they don't know how to fence for themselves. So it's kind of difficult because you do not get a break. As a mother, you have to sacrifice every minute of every hour, of every second. It's constantly on them. When you're sick, you don't get a break. When you're tired, you don't get a break. When you want to be alone, 90% of the time, you do not get a break. So you have to sacrifice. And it's an amazing sacrifice. You know, I love it. Yes, I get tired sometimes and I want my own time, but I wouldn't trade my kids for anything in the world. I'm truly blessed and I thank God for my 4 blessings. And they are, they're a handful. But like Christina said, we have a lot, you know, we have a lot of plates to juggle. We have a lot of things in our plates as women.
But wow, y'all almost made me cry saying all that stuff. Being a mom, it can, even though I only have 2 children, for me, sometimes, honestly, it becomes a little bit overwhelming just because the more that I have been more in tune with myself, with my emotions, with my mental health, to put it like that, I realized that, how am I even going to explain this? I realized that, I'm just going to leave that part out because I really don't even know how to explain it. But, it is a tough job, honestly. Like Candace says, you sacrifice your time for them. Although I must say that when I'm ill, AJ is always there for me to take care of me or whatnot. He's really good at giving me a break with the kids when he notices that I'm irritated, especially if it's with work or whatever may be going on. He knows how to read me, so he will distract them and go and play with them. So I have to give him a lot of props because he's always being very supportive and he's very understanding and knows how to bring me back to a normal mentality to let me know that everything will be okay, because a lot of time I honestly do not feel like I'm a good mother, but these kids have a way of letting you know, even though they're young, even though my son is 13 and my daughter is 4, they really have a way to let you know that despite of how you may feel, they make you feel like you're the greatest, because you know, in their mind, they don't really know any better. But I wouldn't trade it, even though I do have my rough patches. Oh, baby's okay. Even though I know us moms, as much as we may not want to admit it, we have our mental breakdowns. or whatnot.
Yep.
But it's very tough. So it's always good that you should have your spouse there to support you when you're going through the tough moments.
I just wanted to add, because the reason I paused and I stopped the way that I did was because I was like, man, I'm rambling. Let me just like chill. You're not the only one here. But something that Catherine did bring up that I also wanted to add is that I agree. I am blessed with a husband that takes time to take the baby. Like, they got their own little world sometimes that I be jealous because Julian is like usually all up on me. But something has happened like over the past year where like Julian has clinged on a lot to my husband. And like, that's daddy. Like, that's, it's so beautiful and so amazing to hear him call us mommy and daddy. Like, I would have never thought this would be my life. And I agree with you, Catherine, as well, when it comes to like the mental breakdown part of it. Sometimes like you feel like, man, I need to do more. Like, I know, honestly, something that I struggle with currently is like my husband and I really are trying to move because we don't live in the best area. And I look at my son like, yo, like, I want him to be able to play and like, you know, to have a good time. And like, look at where we have him. We're like not in the best neighborhood. And it's not about being in the most precious neighborhood, but it's like, you know, we're really not in the best neighborhood. And then like when Nevaeh comes, it's like, you know, I want her to be able to play and have an awesome, great time outdoors because she's an outdoorsy kid. And so it's like, I want to be able to give them that. And sometimes you're like, man, like, am I doing enough? Like, you know, I try my best though. And I know that I try my best. And my husband assures me of that. He actually sent me a random message the other day that was like a tearjerker for me. Like, I ain't let him know I was crying because he can't know that I was like, you know, crying. Had to be tough. I was like, I'm good. But he sent me like a random message, but it was like, God knew that I needed that at that moment. Like, he sent me a message and was just like, babe, like, you know, I know that I don't say much, but I just wanted to tell you that you are like the most awesome mom. And also, you know, God knew, like I said, that I needed to hear that message at that moment, at that time. And he was just like, you know, praising me and saying that I'm such an awesome mom and that like, he said something about like, there's no doubt in his mind that his children are safe. Like, and he just was praising me and it felt really, really good. So I appreciate that from my husband. Julian for me is like, he needed me, but I needed him more and I didn't know how much I needed him. And it's like, he's literally the highlight of my every morning. Even when he wake up in the middle of the night and be wanting to sleep in the bed with us, I still wouldn't have it like any other way. So I absolutely am so thankful to God for allowing me to experience what it is to be a mom. And I ain't had to gain no extra weight because I ain't had to carry him. So this weight right here is all me.
How do you keep yourself from mentally collapsing, right?
I'm gonna go first, ladies. Me personally, I have a couple things. The first thing I want to say is God. I know I won't be standing or I won't be here. I think I would either, now I'll be very frank and very transparent, I think I would have either committed suicide or just would have left or would have been in a mental place, in a mental home, because I've been through so much in my life, even before I met John and I had my kids. When I was little, when I was 3, I've been through a lot. And I know that the only reason why I'm still standing and the only reason why I'm here is because of the grace of God, because he has covered me. He has protected me. Yes, I've been through, if I was to sit here and explain what I've been through, we would be here for hours. But only him. And then also comes with the support of my husband and my kids, because my kids, you know, your kids, they know how you're feeling. You can put a smile on, but they can sense what you're going through. It doesn't matter how old they are, and they always come at the right time, you know? And that's why I say my kids are a blessing, because God created our kids just for us specifically. God created because he knows that without them, we wouldn't be where we're at now. You know, sometimes, like Heather said before, that she sometimes feels like she's not a good mother. I think we all have been there. We all have gone through that same thought. We all have been through that same feeling. I've been through that as well, where I felt like I wasn't a good mother. And here comes my kids and start singing to me, or start saying, "Mommy, you're so beautiful. We thank God for you. We thank you for everything you do." And it's amazing because they know, they know, you know, and we could be, we could have a mask on, you know, us as mothers and as wife, sometimes we put a mask on. I'm guilty at that. And by the grace of God and the blessing that he has given me with my kids, the other day, if you haven't watched the movie A Week Away, I should, especially with your kids. It was like a Christian movie, and they were singing a song, and they were singing it to me, and I just started crying because they just came out, they came downstairs because the movie was playing, because that's Evelina's favorite movie, and they just started singing it to me and pointing and dancing, and me and my father-in-law was just cracking up, and I had just had tears because I was just going through so much. And not only that, also with the support of my church and my friends, you know, I say friends, but they're more family to me. Kim and Christina are sisters, and a couple of the women from my church, you know, they help me, you know, they uplift me when I need prayer, when I'm going through a battle that I can't face on my own, or, you know, mentally I can't, I feel exhausted, or I feel like I want to give up or just run away and never come back. I just reach out to them, and I reach out to God, and that's the only reason why I'm still here. And I know that that's just me, you know. I go to church, and I love anything that has to do with God. He is just truly amazing, and I don't want to cry, so I'ma just cut it off.
Oh.
All right. Either one of you ladies can feel free to take it.
I'll go next. I will have to say, I definitely have been through a whole lot in my life, and it's such a shame because, like, I went through a whole lot so young, and it was just like choices that I made that weren't the best, and so it led, honestly, to a lot of my own mental health issues. Like, I've gone through a lot of depression, anxiety. And it's things that I still suffer with now, but I can tell y'all it's seriously not as much as it was before. I've experienced, like, you know, a lot of just like dumb things. And it's always been God for me to help me with my sanity. I was raised in the church. It doesn't mean that I stood in the church, but I always came back to the church and back to God. And I know for absolute certain that, you know, my faith has definitely helped me cope with my mental status when it comes to, like, you know, the moments that I do have anxiety and I do have depression. And it doesn't mean that in any of those moments, even though, you know, the answer is God and the answer is that God has, like, you know, sustained me, that's a given fact. I'm sealed. I have been, you know, from birth, my parents presented me to the Lord. And, you know, I have served the Lord all my life, like I said, whether I've been in and out when I was a teenager. But because there was something already a seed planted in my heart with the Lord, no matter what I did, I always came back to him. Thankfully, I've been back to him for some years now, and I'm still with him, and I'm going to stay with him, and I'm going to keep going with him, and y'all going to come with me with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But all that to say that God, you know, even in those times that obviously I have the Lord, it doesn't mean that in those times I didn't still feel lonely. I didn't still feel, you know, hurt. It's a lot of silent moments I've had with God, but in the end, I always see, you know, the best of me at the end. And so definitely God. And definitely shout out to my sister Kim, to Kimberly. Yeah, yeah. She is definitely my confidant, like they call. You know, you have that one person that you can talk to about anything. And I know that, you know, she's my best friend. She's my sister, but she's my best friend. She's like, you know, my only real best friend in all my life, where, like, you know, I've had, like, you know, best friends, and that's what's up. But there's always that one person that you can, that you can just pour everything into. And I've, you know, she's definitely been there for me a whole lot, and I know that I've been there for her. We as sisters have had moments where we just call each other and just cry, and I don't need you to say nothing else but just listen to me, let me talk my mess, let me say what I gotta say. But the good thing about it is that I know that she prays for me and I pray for her. So that's been a blessing as well, to help me through my moments when I feel like I'm crashing, when I feel like, man, like, you know, I'm so frustrated, I'm really about to give up, even though I'll never do that. But when I get to those moments of I can't do this no more, like, I'm just so frustrated, aside from the Lord, that's my number one, it will be my sister and my Aunt Norma, the pastor's wife. She's somebody that I have gone to many times before, and I've poured out my heart. It's always good to be able to have, like, you know, specific friends and family, especially when you know that they're going to lift you up in prayer. It's good to have friends. Don't get me wrong. Like, you got your regular friends, and then you got your friends that you know is really going to lift you up. Like, they're not just going to agree with you. What I appreciate about my sister and my aunt is that when I go through my mental instability sometimes, where I may be frustrated about whatever it is that life has given me, or whatever it is that I have decided to, you know, the choices that I've made that led to certain outcomes, they're real with me, and they'll check me if I need to be checked, and they'll, you know, let me know, but in, like, the right way, and they won't leave me in that. And so definitely my Aunt Kimberly, my Aunt Norma, and my sister Kimberly, the Lord, and my husband has had his, we're newlyweds, my husband has had his share of definitely, like, you know, pouring into me. He's prayed with me every single morning. I'm blessed to be able to say that he prays with me every night. He prays with me. So that's my answer, that's my final answer. Bam. And Kathy and Candace, just to let y'all know from the earlier question, you guys are awesome moms. Don't ever doubt yourself. And you guys are on the right track. You're doing the right thing. You look at those babies, they look to you, they love you. You guys are amazing mothers.
Aw, thank you. Aw,
thank you.
You are too.
Oh, it's my turn. My bad. Wow, what keeps my mental sanity? The first thing that comes to mind, and I don't know if it's because ever since COVID, I am a extrovert. And especially with being privileged to have been working from home with the company that I work with for 7 years now. Once COVID hit, that was really tough for me, even though I was accustomed to being at home and working and being with the kids or whatnot. But I appreciate more, and I tell this to AJ all the time. He'll tell me, "What are you doing outside? It's too hot." And I'm like, I'm enjoying a breath of fresh air. I love just walking around the neighborhood. The kids, for the most part, my little one, because Junior doesn't even want to be walking out anymore. But my little one, she really enjoys, you know, mommy. And so I say, okay. And then we have a couple blocks down, we have a local park that I take the kids to play at. But I really, really appreciate, and it might sound small, but before COVID, I never really appreciated being outside and just catching a breath of fresh air and looking at, you know, nature, the trees or whatnot. Once I step out of the house, to me, that makes me feel really good. Even if I'm just sitting outside in the little table chair that we have, and I just sit there and I say, wow, Lord, thank you, you know, that I have breath, I'm alive, I can take a walk. To me, exercise, walking, well, when I could run, because now I have a herniated disc, I can't even bend over. But exercise, especially running and walking, that would really, AJ says, you crazy. That really helps me clear my mind. I don't know what it is about it. I try to incorporate, I have a thing with Abby where we have girl spa days. So we'll fill up the tub with bubble bath or with a bath bomb and just like relax. And I try to have little chats with her. She'll sit down. She's like, okay, mom, girl chat. I was like, okay, girl, come on. I try to take care of myself. I'm a skin person. Like, I'm all about my face as far as, you know, try to take care of it. So I try to do things for myself. Or even when AJ will take the kids, because like I said earlier, he knows when I need a break. And here lately, I've been getting into reading devotionals, and I feel as though that has spoken to me a lot. And I'm not one to normally just read devotionals or whatnot. And AJ always making me laugh, so that's a good thing.
Yes, you know, I was just sitting back, just listening to all your guys' answers. And, you know, it's amazing to hear different perspectives. And a lot of you guys are basically nailing it right on the head. You know, it's hard. I really don't know how mothers do it. I actually tell Kathy that all the time. I'm like, I don't know how moms do it, and let alone single moms, even though, you know, you guys are all married. But just being a mom is tough in itself. Like, I can't imagine. So, and I know a lot of guys, John brought up, you know, how do you handle your mental stresses and stuff and stuff like that. And that's important, because a lot of women, they feel as though that, like, showing that could be kind of a weakness, or they don't have time to take care of themselves because they're so busy focusing on everybody else. So the fact that you guys are actually, you know, trying to handle it and trying to handle stress is appreciated, you know, and it is very inspiring. So I just want to ask, what would you say is the hardest thing about being a mom?
I would have to say the hardest part of being a mom is discipline. It's really tough to discipline, like, for instance, with Junior. You know, they always say the first kid you have, I'm gonna call that your test trial kid, because when you have the ones, or, you know, however many children you decide to have, but once that second one comes around, it's like, oh no, we're not doing the same thing we did with the first one. And I don't know if that's because Abby's a girl, but I believe that we're raising Abby differently, and as far as discipline, especially, it's different. I think discipline with children is always going to be a sensitive topic, because, you know, everybody has their own ways of discipline. So that's going to be my answer, discipline.
Oh, that's kind of tough. I agree with Catherine. Disciplining the kids and actually punishing them. sticking to it, because I punish the kids, but then I'll be like, all right, go right ahead. Like, I feel so bad. And I'll be like today, John Jr., I punished him and I took the phone off of him. But as soon as John and Jose left, I gave him back the phone.
Dang.
Because, well, I waited 10 minutes. But because it's the phase. Like you said, the first child is the test child. Felicity, it's because Abby is your second. Felicity, when we have Felicity, Felicity's tough, is very tougher than the boys. Because when she will fall, I'll be like, all right, come on, get up. And nobody told you to go over there and do that. I told you to stop, and look, now you got hurt. With Aiden and John Jr., I used to run. I'm like, oh my gosh, they just fell. Like, you know, like, they can't get dirty. Like, literally, my kids, I remember one time I took them to my family's house for like a party. It was like a picnic. There was a pool and all that stuff that my mom had, and I left the kids over there for like about 2 hours, and my sister Liz was like, mom, I know you do not have Candace's kids looking like that. And she was like, what, they're having fun? She was like, you better hurry up, because she's coming, and you better clean those kids and change their clothes. So everybody was like running and getting them clean and changing their clothes, because I knew I was gonna come back in 2 hours. So with Felicity, it was like, it's all right, you know, get dirty, like, you know, you need the germs, right? But it's the discipline. It's a punishment. I can't stick to it because it breaks me. I can't see the faces. You know, I be like, I have to turn away or I walk away or I leave. I can't. I just can't. I don't know what to tell you. It's just soft. I'm that soft. Yeah, I am soft. But you know, yeah. Steven?
For me, I promise y'all, I'm really not being I'm not trying to be all sentimental and all this though. Like, I'm not trying to be all extra, I promise, from the bottom of my heart.
First, it's okay.
I have to say, like, I'm not trying to be extra. That's what I'm saying.
Right ahead, girl.
For me, see, y'all got multiple children in-house. I have a stepdaughter that does not fit, like, she doesn't live here. She comes every month, but she doesn't live here. And she is at that 10-year-old age where, like, you know, they got their personality going. And then I have little Julian that is 2 years old. So, you know, there's not much discipline going on over here just yet with Julian, because he's really, honestly, a very, very good toddler. He's, despite your little, you know, hey, don't touch that, don't do this, or whatever. Like, he's really, really, he's an angelic child. And Lord, keep him like that, because I know he's going to grow up. But I think for me, what I struggle with as a mom, is that was the question, right? Or what's the hardest part about being a mom?
Yes.
The hardest part about being a mom, for me, has been watching him grow up, because he's getting big so fast. And it's like, you're gonna just get bigger. I was looking at him the other day and it makes me so sad. Like, he's at that real fun age where he is, like, literally a comedian. Like, he's so energetic and everything, and he's so fun. But it's like, as I see him just getting bigger, like, and talking more now, and all of that, it's like, oh my God, you're growing up so fast. Like, you're literally going to college, you're going to get married, and you're going to forget all about me. That's what I think about. And, like, you said too. So I guess it's like, you know, for me, it's like, it's really hard just seeing him grow up, but it's exciting at the same time. And then, like I said, with my stepdaughter as well, like, she's at that age where I think I struggle more on that end, because see, what the hardest part for me is, because I'm stepmom, it's like, I have to distinguish friendship and stepmom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah. That's for me, because since she's not here all the time, when she comes here, I'm all like, all hail you. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything you want to do. But I have to also remember, like, it's not just like, you know, you want to give them the world, but, like, you know, you got to chill out a little bit, because then she's going to go back home to her biological mom. And then it's like, oh, well, when I go over there to my stepmom and my dad's house, I get, like, you know, I got privileges or whatever, things like that. I could do anything that I want. And then she go home, and then, like, you know, I don't want there to be any conflict where it's like, oh, well, she thinks she just do whatever she want when she over there with y'all. You know, that's not the case. So I have to, on that side, that's hard for me to like, you know, level out, like, authority in a way, I want to say. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, but, like, you know, the, hey, I'm your friend, I'm here, I'm cool, like, you know. But you also still have to be respectful and not, like, you know, just let you get away with doing anything and everything that you want. That's hard for me on that side. On this side, when it comes to the baby, I guess, like I said, like, just, like, you know, seeing him growing up, he's growing up too fast. He's doing the most. And potty training, y'all, this stuff is hard.
Yes,
for me right now, because this boy has his own personality. He does not want to sit on the potty, and trying to teach him what it is to go pee pee in the potty, because he don't even know what that is. He just thinks it's a song. He'll stand up from the potty and be dancing, shaking his butt, some pee pee in the potty and poo poo in the potty. So, like, that's hard for me. It's the potty training over here. But yeah, that's my strugglement. Like Nathan says strugglement. That's my strugglement. My strugglement is you know, trying to be a good stepmom, and also, like, you know, establish that there's a good relationship between her and I, which there is. We have a great relationship. She loves me, but I don't want her to love me just because, like, you know, I try to be, like, friendly with her, because she is growing and she knows better, and she's very, very bright. She's very smart. So I want
and she's very beautiful.
Exactly. She's gorgeous. And I want her to have that friendship with me. And Julian, too. I want him to know that I'm, like, you know, always talk to me. Like, it's okay to talk to me. But don't be saying that and twist it.
You have to find a balance. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, exactly. The balance. Finding the balance is my final answer.
Yeah.
Now, when I asked the question about the challenge, I noticed that everybody was giving it in the parent perspective. Now, let's just talk about, as a woman itself, how difficult is it? Like, what are the circumstances or the prejudices or the stereotypes or even misconceptions that there are in society today that are just wrong about women?
I'll go first. Can I go first, Lily?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm standing up for this one. So, you know.
Go ahead. Hey, stand up. Do what you speak your mind, girl.
So for me, I feel like I've said this before. I've had like conversations about this before where it's like we really do wear a trillion hats. Like, women wear so many hats. As you know, whether you're married or unmarried or whatever, or having responsibilities, like, or kids or whatever the case is, but I'm gonna speak, like, for me, it's like I go to work, I come home, like I was saying earlier, you gotta still be a great wife, you have to be a good mom, attend to your children, you still gotta take care of the house, you have to cook, you have to take care of yourself, you have to look pretty too, because God forbid that your hair ain't done or that you don't look like, no, you still have to take care of yourself. And it's like, I feel like, and I'm not speaking about my own, like, you know, I'm not talking about like Eric or whatever. I'm not indirectly talking about Eric or anything like that either. I'm talking about like conversations that I've had with other people as well, with other girls, like from work, people vent all the time just because. So like, I feel like, you know, back then, back in like the old times, women wasn't the ones who was working. We were supposed to be like, you know, or it was like stay at home moms or whatever. You were the you know, you took care of the house and that's all it was. Like, took care of the house, you cleaned, you took care of the kids or whatever, and you were a homemaker. That's the word I was looking for. But now we have to be homemakers and work as well, because the cost of living these days, like, you have to have a job. So it's like, it's difficult sometimes to, like, you know, for me to just pause and just take care of me and like go get my nails done, go get my feet done, go do my hair, go take a moment for myself. I'm very, very involved with church on top of that too. So it's like taking a moment, like, you know, to just pause and have a me moment is hard. As much as for real, my husband always is telling me, like, babe, go get your hair done, babe, go get your nails done, like, you know, take a moment for yourself. He's always pushing me to go take a moment for myself. But I personally have a hard time with taking a moment for myself, because all I'm thinking about is, no, but I got to make sure the laundry's done. I got to do this. I got to, like, I have like a little bit of OCD where it's like, all right, let's say, like, for example, we just came back from a convention last weekend. My husband went upstairs, put the luggage upstairs, and he's like, baby, let's, you know, let's lay down. Let's chill for the rest of the night. I couldn't chill for the rest of the night because I had to go put everything away from the luggage. And he's like, that could wait for tomorrow. But for me, it was like, no, I got to do that right now because I ain't got time tomorrow. So I feel like, you know, we do a lot. And for real, sometimes we don't take a break. We don't pause. We don't chill. But I feel like for me is the fact that, like, back then, you know, women were just the homemaker. And that in itself is a job. But now we work in 9-to-5 jobs, too, and still having to do all this stuff as well. So that's my answer.
I agree with Christina about how back in the day, women would be the one that stays home and takes care of the kids. But me personally, Lee, I don't think that has, I don't know if that's because, of course, we're in a whole different decade, if to put it like that. But personally, I don't believe it's affected me that much because I have always been one to be more independent. Which I know you sometimes don't like that. But I've been more independent of a sense that I really don't try to rely on AJ, just to give him as an example. But he steps in a lot as far as the laundry. Even Junior, big props to my son, because while he's been at home, and I know that he doesn't like it, you know, what teenager wants to be helping around the house? But I tell him, hey, you're going to thank us later. You're going to be one of the kids that's probably don't even know how to wash their own laundry. And you over here been washing your laundry since what? About 9 years old? But yeah, AJ helps out a lot as far as like the house. And I think that that really takes a load off me as far as like my mental sanity, because we as moms, we already have to, you know, we have a lot of responsibilities, and basically we're like an octopus trying to attend to them, the hubby, food, what needs to get cleaned or whatnot, or whatever, any other errands. So I don't think it's really effective for me, just because I don't know, us as moms, we get so used to doing it that we just go with the flow, really.
In my opinion, well, it's a lot of different things to it, because one, as a woman, it is very, very difficult out here to stand up and have like a higher position at work, or even just to, like, for example, like Christina said about being at home, and God forbid you don't look nice. Us as females, society wants us to carry ourselves like if we're like a model, we have to be like a model, we have to be this certain way, or we have to look this certain way, we have to act or speak this certain way. As a Latina and Puerto Rican, I have an accent, you know, and I could speak very proper English. But even in the Spanish community, if you don't speak Spanish, well, they judge you. And it's a lot out here that a lot of females have to continue to fight and try to prove basically themselves to society, which is wrong in a lot of different levels. And I'm a stay-at-home mom, so, you know, when I tell them I'm a stay-at-home mom in this generation, in this decade, everybody's like, oh, you're a stay-at-home mom? And that's coming from females as well. Like, before, it used to be like, you know, guys, well, that's your job. Good. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. But when you tell a female that's actually working and has a job, or, you know, is like high up in a company, and they'd be like, oh, so what do you do? And I'd be like, oh, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And they'd be like, oh, you're a stay-at-home mom. So as a female, you have to, like, yeah, like, it is. It's the hardest job. But for some females, they don't see it that way, you know? So you have to, it's like you're fighting, or you try, like, basically the way this world is so, like, screwed up, basically, that you have, females don't know how to lift females up anymore. Like back in the day, you know, they would lift you up. It's not a lot of females like that anymore. Everybody's just for themselves. And females already have it bad in some situations, you know, in some places, where you still have to prove yourself. Me personally, I just don't care anymore because I love being a stay-at-home mom. I love being with my kids 50% of the time. Sometimes I do wish I do work, because being a stay-at-home mom, I mean, like Christina said, you know, when you're working a 9-to-5 and then you come home, then you got to do it. I was doing it for a minute, but I honestly could tell you that I love going to work instead of being a stay-at-home mom, because when you're a stay-at-home mom, you don't get a break. For example, when you go to work, you get to have lunch and speak with your coworkers and speak with people around your age, you know, have a conversation. I remember when my kids were little, before Evelina, Kim came to my house one time and Aiden was having a full-blown conversation with me, and he was talking baby talk and I was responding to his questions, and Kim was just looking at me and she said, did you just understand everything he just said? And I said, yes. And she was like, are you serious? And I was like, yes. And she was like, what did he just say? And I told her, and I was giving him what he wanted. And at the end of the whole conversation that me and him had, and I gave him what he wanted, he said, gracias. And I said, you're welcome. And he left. And she started laughing because she was like, we need to find you. She's like, we need to get you out of here. You need a break. So she was like, because this is not normal. So I applaud the females that are a stay-at-home mom, and I applaud the females that work, and I applaud the all the females in the world. I give them all props, because it's not easy as a female. We have different jobs. We have to carry ourselves in a whole new level. You know, when we step out of the doors of our home, we're representing ourselves, we're representing our spouse, we're representing our kids, we're representing our name. And also as a Christian, a female Christian, it's just a whole new level. Like, it's you have to be careful what you say, you have to be careful on how you dress, how you act. All eyes are always on you. When you think that nobody's looking, somebody is always looking. So for a female, it's very, very hard and very difficult to sometimes just continue to keep walking with your head up. And I applaud every lady that does. That's why sometimes I say us females wear a mask, because let's be honest, 50% of the time I'm smiling, but you don't know what I'm going through on the inside, because I'm about to have a mental breakdown. Because it's just too much. So it's kind of difficult out here for females to carry ourselves in a higher standard, because you're not only having men looking at you a certain way, you also have other females looking at you. Yep. You also have other females looking at you a certain way. So it's like a double sword. So either way, you never win. And when you're a Christian, it's even worse. So, yeah, I hope I answered the question.
All right, so thinking back to when you guys were younger and how you were raised, and compared to how you raise your children now, what do you think is the biggest difference?
I'm gonna go first.
Go ahead.
Me, personally, my life story is very, very different to a lot of people, but when I was growing up, I really didn't have a stable home. I didn't have food on the table or in the house. I didn't have parents looking after me. I have my two older sisters watching over us and trying to keep us safe as best as they can, or them sacrificing whatever they had in a plate to give to us. And it was nine of us, or eight of us, seven. Of us together. My mom had nine kids, only seven of us were together. And we didn't have birthdays. We didn't have birthday cakes. Christmas, we didn't have Christmas. We didn't know what was opening a Christmas gift. We didn't know what was it to go shopping and getting clothes. I was one that I had to wear shoes that had holes in them, and I had days where I went starving. And I had a very, very rough and childhood, and I've seen so many things that a child should have never seen and experienced. So many things that a child should have never experienced at a very, very, very young age. So I try to teach my kids that they should be grateful that they have a roof. They should be grateful that they have clothes. That they should be grateful that they have a bed to sleep on, because I didn't even have a bed or blankets. You know, or even in the winter, a coat or a scarf, gloves or whatever. It was just very crazy. Or even education, because I didn't know how to read and write until I was about 21 years old, because I didn't get to experience going to school, because DHS was looking for us to take us away from our family. So I would grab my sister and run out the school as soon as I seen DHS coming. So it wasn't an easy experience to go through as a young child, as a little girl. And I had to learn how to grow up fast. And I try to teach my kids that to pause and to stop trying to grow up too fast, and to enjoy everything that they have. Birthdays, birthday cakes, whatever gift they get. I thank God that my kids, you could take them to Dollar Tree and get them a toy that's 50 cents or a dollar, and they're the happiest kids in the world. You could get them a $100 toy and a Dollar Tree toy, and it doesn't matter, because they're grateful because you gave them something. And that's something that I thank God that I was able to show them, to be appreciative of what they have, because I didn't experience any of that. And And unto this day, I still haven't told them a lot because they're still too little to understand. But I've told them, like, you know, mommy didn't have a birthday. Mommy didn't know what a birthday was. Mommy didn't know what it was to blow out a candle and you know, just, yeah, seeing it on TV, you know, or seeing other people doing it, but it wasn't like for me. And they look at me and then they'd be like, why? And I'd be like, that's another conversation that I will have with you guys when you're a little bit older. And even for Christmas, I'm like, be grateful for what you got, because you would, you're lucky that you got all this, because if not, if it was like mommy never received anything. And they were like, why? Because you was bad, mommy? Santa Claus didn't come? You know, because they're so innocent. And I'm like, no, it's just, you know, Santa Claus was very busy, you know, when I was young. But my whole world is different compared to my children's. And I try to shield them from all of that, because what I went through wasn't easy. Like I said earlier in the beginning of the question that my husband asked, I had to grow up fast. That's why I say I became a woman when I was 11 years old, or even before that, because I learned how to go without, you know, without eating. I had to learn how to put other people's feelings or needs before mine. I had to do so many different things that a child should never have to go through. And so I try to teach my kids to be grateful with whatever they have. I try to show them, you know, and now also showing them, you know, they've grown up in the church. I'm trying to show them how, you know, to follow Jesus Christ and who is God in their lives and, you know, who is God in my life. And it's just so many different things. So, yeah.
I know one thing is try to not to be so strict on my children, because my mom was very strict. Even though I did have my moments, I guess, with the neighbor kids, because not in this age, but back in our days, you can be outside till the street light came on or turned off. It's turned on because it would be dark. But I try to not be so strict with the kids, because I was never really allowed to do a lot. And I don't know if it's because now that I'm a mom, if me seeing that the reason she may have been so strict is because I am a female. And I guess with females, I see it as you have to be more protective of them. But I told myself that I would not try to be so strict with my kids, and especially with Abby, to allow her to be involved, you know, like with the sports, or even when she gets older, if she wants to try something new. Sports wise, it's the first thing that comes to my mind. I'm not gonna try to shield her so much to where she will resent me for it, because I would say that I do feel resentful at times with my mom, even though she may not know it. But I do feel resentful in that aspect that I wasn't allowed to do anything, not even if it was school related. I remember in high school I was chosen to be part of the volleyball team, and then a couple of days later she just told me, no, you can't be on the volleyball team. So I was very shielded in that sense.
For me, I'm not ready for this conversation, but I will say something. I'm really not ready for this conversation, because honestly, like, I don't want to I don't know, I'm just not ready for that conversation about like how I was raised or whatever, and like, you know, how in comparison I want to raise my kid. All I'm saying is that I want to always make sure that I'm encouraging to my children, like that I'm encouraging, like I don't want to put them down. I don't want to discourage them in any way. If they're wrong about something, then sure, I'll let you know that you're wrong about it, but I don't ever want to steal their joy. Like, if they want to pursue something, as long as it's not going to harm them and it's not going to harm other people around them, then I want to do my best to be an encouragement to them. I want to always speak life to them. I want to always be available to them and not have them feel like I'm judging them based off of, you know, if I disagree with them with something or whatever the case is, like growing up. I feel like naturally you don't want to be super strict with your kids, but you also have to to me, I want to, I guess, have that balance where it's like, I'm not mad strict where like you literally don't have a social life at all. But nowadays things is crazy out here. So I still have to keep my, like, you know, still got to be strict to an extent. Like, you're not about to just be going out with whoever and whatever. I don't know who they are, where you're at, what you're doing, nothing like that. I want to give you some freedom and I want you to have a social life. But I also want to be cautious just because the world is really, really crazy nowadays. But I would say that compared to, I guess, how I was brought up, I just always want to make sure that I'm encouraging my children and being a positive influence in their life. I want to also live that positive life so that they can see me and be like, wow, I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one, because that's a daily struggle, at least for me it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that that's easier said than done, because I don't know if it's because my son is now a teenager, but oh my gosh, he really tries my nerves. I've had my share with him, but I find it so admirable in a sense that he still loves me regardless. And, you know, we can come to each other and say, you know, well, hey, I'm sorry because of this. You know, I shouldn't have acted like that. But wait till them teenage years come. I'll be praying for y'all.
I'm not ready because John Jr. is just like his father. So I'm going to be like, Lord, bless this bat.
Do y'all feel like y'all need men in your life?
My response is no. I do not need men. Well, no man. I don't need a man.
Why not though?
That goes back to how I was raised, and I think that has to do with a lot ever since when my mom was divorced, because I guess whenever my mom had gotten divorced and I was like 12 years old, and I guess, you know, that's when you start to realize and learn more and in life or whatnot. That made me be more independent because I saw her, how, you know, being a single mom or whatnot, doing it all on her own. That, no offense, honey, but you know, I always say that if you weren't here, I think I would be okay. But I think as a woman, we would prefer to have that companionship, you know, because I don't know, as a woman, you just want to be loved, you want to be comforted, you want to have your man, in this case
you want to feel love,
my husband, besides feeling love, you know, I wouldn't want to grow up and not have a companion, someone I can share my life with, have kids with, raise our own family. But no, I wouldn't say that I need a man, honestly, because
you're saying you don't need a man, but you say you need a companion.
No, I'm saying, but I think that's what women like to have. It doesn't mean that we need a man. They have in vitro for all that if you're trying to have kids. So that's why I say we need a man. I don't think we need him. I think we would just prefer to have a man with us.
Just admit it, y'all want us next.
I believe, God bless for real, every single mom out there who raises their kids. At the end of the day, my opinion, so don't shoot me, is that a woman will never be able to for real fulfill the roles of a father. Like, you may be forced to have to be a mom and dad to your kids because the dad won't step up, or the dad isn't there, or whatever the case is. And let me tell you, there's plenty of people out there, plenty of homes out there where just because you have two parents, a mom and a dad, doesn't mean that you have a dad. Like, you can have an absent in-house father, just letting you know in case y'all didn't. But the role of a man is very, very important. I personally, I love my husband. I need my husband. I, like, you know, I love him and I want him. I'd rather want you than need you. You know what I'm saying? But for real, there's a lot of broken people out here because of the absence of a dad, because of the absence of a man. Like, there's a lot of broken adults who haven't let go of things, or who don't realize even that they got daddy issues at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's really, really, mm-hmm. I feel like if things would have been done right and there were a mom and a dad that got along and that, like, you know, really put their heads together to raise these generations, this generation would be better than it is. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of lack. You need a male authority in the household. The Bible talks about the man being the head of the household. You know what I'm saying? Like being the priest of the household. So I feel as though, yes, I need a man. I need a man. If I'm going to, now, if you was not married and you wasn't like, you know, you had no kids or whatever, if there was no kids involved, I don't think that a woman needs a man. If you were just like a single dingle little girl, and you just like chose to live your life single, because I'm not saying that all women need men. That's not true, in my opinion. Not all women need a man. Like, if there are very strong, independent women out there that never got married, that never, like, you know, decided to, like, you know, live that life or whatever with needing a man. That's cool. They call independent women who just do their own thing. Like, that's what's up. But I feel like if you are going to raise a family, you need a man. That's what I'm saying. That's my personal opinion. You need a man if you're going to raise a family. Not saying that you can't do it on your own. I feel like anybody can do anything on their own if they put their mind into it. But I feel like you need a man. Yep.
That's a great explanation.
I feel like I know what I'm trying to say, and I'm not trying to be offensive, because I'm not also trying to say like, oh, your children are not gonna be successful if you don't have a man in the house. That's not true either. I'm saying that, like, it makes a difference when you have a good man, when you have a man, not saying that he ain't going to make no mistakes and you ain't going to make no mistakes. But if you have that man that you guys are, that's why we got to wait, that you're compatible with and that you guys have the same mindset and y'all learn how to get along. Not saying y'all ain't never going to fight. Y'all ain't never going to disagree. Y'all ain't never going to mess up. We are. But you like, that's where God plays in everything. I'm telling y'all. Y'all need a good man.
I love my husband. Next question.
All right, so the next and final question. If you could only give one piece of advice to your children, what would it be?
Love the Lord. Put God first, period.
Yes, period.
And respect yourself.
Love the Lord and put God first. I agree.
And honestly, to always put God first, like, put God first, period. Secondly, is to respect yourself. Don't ever let anybody disrespect you. I'm not raising no disrespectful children. Don't be disrespectful. If you're on the scepter and somebody needs to sit down, you stand up for that person. Be respectful. Be a young man. Be a young woman. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of disrespectful children out here these days. So be respectful to your teachers, to your elders, to your friends. I don't care if they're your age. Like, they respect you. You respect them. Don't be sitting here trying to buy nobody friendship or feeling like you got to fit in and do whatever. No, we're not doing that. And third, get you a good credit score. Real rap. Make sure that your credit is like, be a hard worker. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be a hard worker. Be independent. Be dependable. Like, and get you a good credit score. Make sure you don't sit here and mess up your credit on stupid stuff. Like, get your bread right. Get you a good house and get you a good wife and get you a good husband, Nevaeh. Get you a good wife, Julian. And don't leave me, period.
Oh. Okay, me. First, follow God, stay with God, and be true to yourself. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not capable of doing something. Don't let nobody undermine you, and be respectful to your elders and, you know, and respect yourself and never think that you can't do anything. But yeah.
For me, and I don't know if this is why, because I have a teenager now, don't have kids before 25 and that you're mature enough. What else? Especially with a girl, because I think that Junior can fend for himself. Don't let nobody touch you. Respect. I like that Christina mentioned that about the respectful thing. Wow, what else did I not say? Don't let someone, I have it in my head, but I can't get the words out. I'm just gonna have to pass. My mind went blank.
You're trying to say, don't let people take advantage of you, period.
That's a very good one. Oh, don't try to tell somebody what your worth is. That's what I was trying to get at. Mm.
Don't try to prove yourself. The other one is, don't try to prove yourself to anybody.
Those are all great ones.
As we come to an end of this episode, I'm going to ask you to say some final words, please.
My final word is that, you know, women are very powerful. We are much stronger than what we think that we are sometimes. Everybody, you're doing a great job as a mom and as a wife and as just a person. You're beautiful. You don't have to feel entitled to look how society tells you you need to look. If you got stretch marks and you got curves, you're still beautiful. If you're a 4X or a negative 3, you're still beautiful. You're doing a great job. You're strong. You're smart. You're wise. Keep going, girl. You got this.
She said it all. I'm with you, girl.
Oh, she said it all.
And don't let no man tell you what you need to be doing. Yes, you're worth. That's why I mentioned, don't let nobody tell you what your worth is. You women can do anything. You see these females in the Olympics? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to give y'all ladies a round of applause. Keep pushing forward.
All right, AJ, you have anything you want to say?
No, I just want to say that, you know, to all the women that were on this podcast, you know, we greatly appreciate you guys spending time out of your busy schedule and dropping us with a lot of knowledge and different perspectives on the women and the difficulties and struggles. And you guys just proved that it's not easy. You know, a lot of times men, we take women for granted. And I always tell her all the time, I don't know how y'all do it, because I couldn't do it. I don't even know how y'all give birth. It's very tough to be a woman, man. And my hat goes off to you all and all the women in the world. You know, I greatly appreciate you guys, and I thank you guys for joining in on the podcast.
Like AJ said, thank you to all you ladies for you know, being transparent and giving us your thoughts and everything in that nature. You guys are awesome. We love you guys. And all I want to say for anyone that's listening to this podcast, anyone that heard this episode of the podcast, I think one thing that the ladies were saying that really stands true is understand your worth. Know what you're worth and don't let anyone diminish what you're worth. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not worth what you are worth, because at the end of the day, you're a queen, and don't let anybody tell you that you're not. So guys, continue to listen, continue to support, continue to share, continue to like and leave reviews and subscribe and all that good stuff. Until next time.